back to the Irish Amp podcast and the journey series continues. This time I'm joined by Sarah Bourne. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad, just a little bit jealous. Sarah's outside and I'm looking at the glorious Miami sunshine while we're over here in Ireland struggling for a bit of dry weather. But I suppose before we kind of get into the podcast and kind of the journey stuff, Sarah, I had you on recently and one of your goals back then was to win college event. You've won two since, so I'm taking 90% of the credit. I'll give you 10%.
But Sounds good.
Before we kick it off, I suppose, talk me through the two of them a little bit.
So the first one was kind of like an event that kind of popped up because it was a bit of a schedule change due to the World Championships and stuff like that. So this one was kind of like a bit out of the blue in terms of just the scheduling of it. And then once it came around and like I looked into the event, I was like, oh, like this is definitely one that like is a great opportunity that I could go and win if I play pretty solid. And I think honestly, that expectation really kind of messed me up in my first round. Like I shot even par on that golf course, which is like, that golf course was there for scoring if you were striking it well and putting it well. So I think like a little bit of the expectation on like, oh, I really want to win this was kind of there. And then I was 8 shots back after the first round and I was like, oh no. And then from that, like the expectation kind of went away and I just free floated and then shot 66-65 to win, which was really, really good. It was, I think it really kind of solidified that I can win, especially like a big stroke play an event like that. It was kind of like, as well, like coming down the stretch, I knew on 17 like an 18 I needed a birdie, I chipped in on 17. Like it was just kind of those moments where I was like, okay, like yeah, I can come in clutch, which was kind of a nice experience to have. And then yeah, so that was a really good one. I think it was a more relief than anything else that I had a college win, because like I obviously had wanted it so much that to finally get a trophy in my hand was like, okay, I won over this one over here in the States. I've kind of like ticked off that goal. And then the second one came straight after, obviously, World Am. So that I literally had no expectations. I just wanted to break 100. Honestly, I was getting off that flight and I was like, I cannot play 36 holes the next day. I literally woke up, got to the tee box, and I actually had to re-tee it on the first hole. I nearly hit an OB. So like, I think that kind of woke me up a little bit and I was like, okay, like I actually got to lock in. Found my first ball, was fine, par the first hole. And I think from there on, I really just free floated. I was on autopilot. I knew I was playing well. It was just more getting through the day. Yeah. And obviously just went wild a little bit. The putts were dropped. Like it was great. It was one of those things where like wherever I aimed, the ball just went. So I was like, okay, well, this is nice. On the rare occasions it happens. And then to do what I did there, like obviously shoot like 19 under for the three rounds, that like really just said, okay, yeah, I actually can very much win. It wasn't just like a fluke thing. Yeah. So yeah, those two wins were one of the highlights of the year. And it was just, it's really cool to get two in a row too, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, as you said, like it was only a couple of months ago, you were talking about getting your first one, you get two back to back and two very different ones actually, just by the sounds of it. So one, you're kind of going in with all the expectations in the world. The second one, you're going in probably still asleep a little bit. I suppose coming away and backing them up like that. So you must have taken great pride, I suppose, in just being able to get it done in two different ways as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of in the mindset where I'm just like trying to learn from everything I do, just to like go on for the future and like what I need to do. So like, I think every single thing that happens, I try not to have too much expectations, but just learn from it. So I think like coming away from the first win, I knew how I was, how I reacted under that pressure. And then kind of going into the second one, if I'm maybe like running back to back events, like, okay, like I know I can do it, even if I'm like feeling fatigued too. So it's just kind of like taking all the little learnings I can from each thing that happens, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose you mentioned the future there. So if I was to ask you, what's the goal for the next 12 months?
Obviously, the goal for the next 12 months is to turn professional and either have have an LPGA tour card and an LET tour card. Mm-hmm. I think obviously we kind of, my goals are always going to be very high achieving ones, just because like me as well, but no one, like with Q school and everything, you never really know how anything is going to work out. But the dream and plan A is if I could have an LPGA and LET status in the next 12 months, that would be ideal.
And so then, like, what have you taken, we'll say, from like the back end of last year? And I know like you're kind of pretty much like almost through a full season of college golf again, so it's slightly different, but from the back end of last year and particularly like coming through the last number of events, so what have you taken from them that's going to potentially help you with achieving these goals?
I think the first thing is that I'm so comfortable at being at around the top of the leaderboard and like in contention. to me now, it kind of feels off or weird if I'm not in the top 10 or the top five. So I think that's the really good thing, is I can really just ride the confidence wave and just keep the foot down. Like, it's never letting off. I'm not getting nervous about it. I'm not like questioning it. I'm just like, okay, like I belong at the top of the leaderboard, and like, that's where I am at. So I think that's like the first thing, is just like just keeping that mentality in my head and like being very comfortable around that. And then yeah, that's kind of like the main thing.
So then I suppose, what's coming up next for you? So like your regular season, postseason is next, I believe, in college. I could probably get that one wrong. But so that's NCAA stuff next, is it?
Yeah. So basically the next thing I have will be our conference championship. Okay. So like the way the like college system is, like you're split up into different conferences. So that's next up. And yeah, so it's called the postseason. It's not regular events anymore. It's just it's the most important ones in college golf, basically. But in terms of like a season, it's really just another tournament. But in terms of college and like in respect to college, they're the most important ones. So yeah, in April we only have one event, so we have a little bit of a break for like 3 weeks, which is a nice too, because it's a pretty packed season. But yeah, so we have a conference championship, and then it goes into regionals in the beginning of May, which is like the stepping stone into trying to get to nationals. So
I suppose your next three events is kind of, well, it's going to be the end of your college career, it's also kind of the biggest part of the year. So I suppose, like as you said, riding the wave of confidence, like it must, going into this kind of portion of it now, you must be kind of really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as much as like I'm looking forward to a little bit of break, because I don't want to get burnt out, it's kind of like I don't want to stop either. Like, give me another one, give me another one, give me another one. So it's kind of just taking these kind of things again, learning from past experience of taking breaks and like going for weeks on. So I think just taking this experience of, I have a few things that I need to work on coming into the next three events. So that's also nice that like I have a little bit of time that I can get the confidence back up in every area of my game that I need to. But it's also kind of like, okay, let's keep the mentality of putting the foot down, like don't get it, like don't sway from it a little bit. So that's, there's always pros and cons to having a little bit of a break. So
someone playing as well as you are currently, and someone that's as high in confidence as you are, what are you going to be working on, or what are you looking to work on?
As of right now, coming off my last few events, it's my putting. Putting from about 5 to 10 feet is kind of struggling, because my irons and everything have been on it. So I'm hitting a lot to like 5 to 10 feet, and I'm just not making the putts, which happened a lot this my past event. Like, I was really struggling, so I think I lost just a little bit of confidence with that. So I even said it to my coach on my last hole, I was like, we gotta work on the putting green the next couple of weeks. So that's going to be like my main focus. It always has been my main focus, kind of somewhere where I need to improve. And over the last, like, that's probably the biggest area of improvement I made in the past like year and a half, has been my putting, which has been really, really nice to see that it's kind of paying off. But it's kind of like, if I want to make it to the next level and keep improving, that's definitely an area I need to look at.
And are you big on stats?
Yes, I'm big on stats. Just kind of like strokes gained, like against LPGA, and kind of seeing my like where I'm at with that.
Because I suppose, like, if you're hitting a lot of shots to 5 or 10 feet, you're not going to hold the amount of putts you probably think you should be holding or want to hold.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to like deal with that, kind of like your approach to the green is high in strokes gained, and then your putting is also, it's kind of always hard to have strokes gained in that when you're hitting it so close. But like, again, that's just another challenge to get through.
Yeah, because I know, like, I was looking at something on Twitter the other day, Padraig Harrington was having a fairly long rant about I suppose people that miss greens will always have a better stroke average in putting and stuff. So hitting it close.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't go changing it just to get the strokes gained on putting, like. But I suppose three events here and then. So what, and like, you have high goals, but like, what does success look like for you in them three events personally? Like?
Obviously getting a win, I think that would just really be a cherry on top, just to finish it all off with either like a conference win or like making it to regionals. And again, so I think like that will always be a goal, is just every tournament I go into, I want to try and win it. And if the putter's hot that week, or if I'm striking a great, like, I have a really good opportunity to do that. So I think that's kind of the main goal, is just kind of keep the foot down with it and just be like, okay, like, why can't I win it, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose, like, golf is a fickle enough game, or like, I suppose we play it a lot, but like, you're not going to win all of them. You'll win, and you've had a couple of wins recently, but coming back from a tournament, and again, like, what do you look at as like a successful tournament for you, take away winning it, everything outside of that?
I think it's kind of looking back on the rounds and like trying to make sure that like I didn't like leave too many things out there, and like I did everything in my control correctly, if you kind of get me. And like it's kind of like doing the simple stuff really well. So I think like coming out of an event being like, okay, like, yeah, I made all the simple up and downs. Like I didn't put myself in really bad positions. Like when I was maybe like on a run of bogeys, like I just kind of got it back, was able to like settle myself down a little bit, kind of just those ways. Like, obviously, like I can't control if the ball goes in the hole quicker. Like you can't control what other people do. So it's just kind of like looking back on it and seeing if I did everything in my control correctly.
100%. And I suppose like, something that's kind of popped up a bit recently with me is like, what's your setup like? I suppose because like you would have to probably change that coming back, I suppose, if you're going playing the British Am and stuff here. Like I'm guessing your bag isn't going to be the same in college as it is here.
Like in terms of like the clubs I use, the or clubs, like yeah. In what way?
Like
yeah, honestly, I don't switch them around too much. Okay. I can control the flight on them, like. In the States, obviously, I put a higher ball flight on everything. I want them to land softer. You don't have that run out. Everything's irrigated. But when I kind of go back to British Am, like, yeah, I might switch out a hybrid to a 3-iron or something in that kind of sense. But I am kind of good at flighting them. Okay. So, and I'm very comfortable with the stuff that I use. I know that it works. I like having the hybrid instead of the 3-iron kind of stuff like that. But honestly, it's not more changing the equipment. It's more just changing the flight of the ball and kind of changing my tempo and everything.
You mentioned the long-term goal here is to turn pro. And I suppose something that you're probably hoping gets in the way of that is Curtis Cup and kind of extending your amateur status for a bit longer. But is that just going to be a kind of take it month by month and see where you stand? I'm guessing two schools happen regardless anyway, so...
Yeah, like honestly, like it's really hard to have a really set plan and a set date of when everything is going to happen. So like, I think it really is just like day by day and month by month, tournament by tournament. And just kind of like, if something pops up and a major opportunity comes, it's kind of like you have to weigh that up when it comes. But as of right now, it's the turning pro will probably be at the end of the summer, maybe start of September, something like that. But like, it's honestly, again, it's really hard to put a date on something when everything is just kind of up in the air a little bit.
Yeah, so I suppose currently you are looking at coming back to British Am and potentially a couple of more here, and then kind of, I suppose, see where that puts you in the rankings. Because, like, you've made such leaps, I suppose, particularly with Wagner and stuff. I know that we discussed this on the last part as well, that, like, you've really put yourself in kind of a really good spot for that selection process, like.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that was my main... That's obviously, like, the pinnacle of, like, women's amateur golf and GB and I in America. It's been a goal of mine since it was on in Dunleary a good couple of years ago now. Like, getting to watch that was, I think, kind of put it in my mind. And I was like, okay, like, I want to get there. So, yeah, like, if it works... If I get there, I get there. At this point, it's kind of out of my control. Like, I just have to keep working on my processes every day and keep doing what I do and just kind of get it out of my head a little bit. But it's always kind of there. That's kind of what I'm working towards, keeps me motivated.
And I suppose that one then, so like getting it out of your head is something that I find interesting. How do you manage to put it to one side, particularly when you're competing?
I actually got a good one from my coach about this, just because in terms of teams and stuff, because there was an event, the Briars Creek one, where I kind of got it in my head a little bit, didn't perform as well as I should have. Mm-hmm. And we kind of talked it through, and she just kind of told me, like, have it in your head that you're not getting picked for them. That's it. Yeah. Like, you're done. The selection's already there. It's already done. You're not picked. Now go out and play golf.
Yeah, just go out and...
It's kind of... Because, like, if you think about it, like, the selection process is those who, like, deserve to be on the team. So as of right now, no one's on the team. You know, like, it's kind of, like, literally put it aside, play your golf, and... As like good golf can get you far. Like, all you have to focus on is playing good golf, and after that, it's kind of not in your control. So like, that's kind of like, on if it creeps into your head, it's kind of like, well, I'm not picked on it anyway, so put it away and just play some golf. And like, that's what I did this week. I kind of got my performance back up a little bit, so like, it definitely helps.
And I suppose then, like, Port Marnock for the women's am, going to be an extremely special one. I'm guessing you must be excited for it.
Yeah, because obviously I'm hoping it to be my last British amateur, and having it at home would be pretty nice. So I'm excited for that one. It's going to be a special week no matter what. And I think just kind of getting to enjoy the experience of it will be fun.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that's marked on my card already. But I think like it could be a very special week for a lot of players up there. And I think it's something, I suppose, again, seeing the growth of women's golf around the world, but again, in Ireland as well, like that it's kind of getting a bit more notoriety lately, is something that's kind of really been good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the amount of like media attention women's golf has gotten, not just in Ireland, but like across the world. It's just, it's grown. Like, I don't know, is it just because I'm being more immersed in it a little bit? Because the where I'm at too, I'm like, this just doesn't seem what it was a couple of years ago. So it's honestly, it's really great to see. It's really good because like I'm kind of more excited for the future because I just feel it's just going to keep on growing and growing. And like, I'm going to be part of that too, which is going to be really exciting. So yeah, no, it's definitely, it's going to be fun for the future.
In the next couple of weeks, I suppose, kind of almost saying goodbye to Miami. So like, what's the keys to you for you, like that you've learned over there in the last couple of years?
Oh my God, that's a loaded question. I feel like, well, coming out of the whole experience now, I'm a very different person than when I went. I think like it changed my perspective on golf a little bit, which is nice. Like I kind of look at the game as not something you have to be perfect for. It's more, you're literally playing the game. Like, yeah, you get yourself in bad positions, but that's the game. It's how you get yourself back out of them again. So I think that's kind of the first part where I was really able to free up my mind a little bit. Like, it's not how you hit them on the range. It's not, it's how you compete and how you like play the game out there on the course. So I think that's the first thing, like the first major thing I really was able to like switch. And that's been obviously the biggest thing that's helped me perform better. I'm trying to think what else, but I think that's kind of the main one, was just like kind of the perspective on the game.
Yeah, so like I suppose, and I think you touched it a couple of times, like growing as a golfer, I suppose, is something that you've really done over there, right? By the sounds of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just especially the last 2 years with the new coaches that came in, they kind of, I was kind of stuck a little bit. And after my second year, I kind of was like stagnant and I wasn't improving and I wasn't making the next jump. And then with my new coaches, I told them I needed to change, like help me, push me, like push me to my limits every day. And they have, I can attest to that. So, but it's obviously working and that I'm very thankful for, but it's definitely, I'm a very, very different golfer. And obviously yeah, I work technically, I work hard and I put in the hours, but I think just being able to have that mentality switch and like just learning a bit more about the game really has been a big, big help.
Yeah. Cause it's something I find massively interesting. I think it's something that's not, I don't think it's discussed enough where like, a lot of players can get to a fairly decent standard, let's say, and a fairly high standard, but it is that, like, it's, you have to be able to be mentally tough enough to do it at the highest level consistently, like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of, like, hard, too, because I think for me, like, I was so willing to change, and I was so, I was willing to do anything. I was like, tell me to do anything, and I will do it. I want to get better, and I want to get my goals, and my like, achieve my dreams. So I think that was, like, the first part of it, that I was so willing to change, because I knew what I was doing wasn't working anymore. So I was like, I was just open to it. So I think that's kind of the first thing, is like, you don't want to like argue against or push against it. You just want to like take it all in. And I've obviously been very lucky to have good people and good coaches around me that have helped me and brought me on. But yeah, just having that willingness to change and like kind of the accountability to know that you're not doing stuff correctly and being able to change it.
Yeah, no, 100%. Sarah, I enjoy that. And as I said, look, I'll keep an eye on the next couple of tournaments and we'll touch base after the NCAAs and we'll hopefully have another title under your belt in the meantime.
Lovely stuff. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sarah.